The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And this is where the title comes from, this passage, Full Life in Christ. You know, there's three lands that the Israelites went through. Okay? It was first Egypt, but Egypt is what I call the land of not enough. They were in bondage in Egypt, the Israelites. Okay? And then God led them to the wilderness, second land. And wilderness is what I call the land of barely enough. You know, manna fell from heaven, but guess what? Just barely enough. Okay? They only could eat the barely enough, okay? In the wilderness. But God was leading his people to the promised land. And the promised land, is described as a land more than enough. Okay? A land more than enough. Now, as a disciple of Jesus, we're called into the promised land. Okay? Into the promised land. And the promised land is not heaven. That's not what he's talking about. It's not heaven. It's not a promise of a comfortable life. It's not a promise of a life without hardship or a life without any problem. That's not the life in the promised land. It's not a promise of a worldly riches where if you go into this land, you have big house and brand new Mercedes every 3 years. No, no. The promised land is where we encounter God, okay? And the promised land is a place in Christ, okay? In Christ, we're going to walk out healing. In Christ, we're going to walk out freedom, discipleship, transformation in our life. And in Christ, in the promised land, we overcome. We are victorious. Amen. Now, it sounds all good, but the promised land is not heaven, but it's in a broken world. Okay? And the Israelites found that out, when they saw the promised land. Okay, what do they see in the promised land? They saw giants in the land. And John 10:10, right? This is what Jesus is saying. He promises full life to his people, but he also warns us a thief will come. Right? I give you full life, but there's a thief that will come to steal, kill, and destroy. There will be this giant, okay, you're going to have to face. This formidable enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And as a disciple of Jesus, yes, God gives us this promise of a full life, but we're going to have to face giants. Okay, what are giants? Giants are something that stand between you and God. Giants prevent you from God's miracle, healing, and freedom. Giants prevent you from transformation, from spiritual maturity, from community, from fellowship, from God's purpose. Giants can be depression, overwhelming stress, debilitating fear. And it says a thief that comes into your life to steal, destroy, and kill. It can be an addiction that steals from you. It can be injustice, racism, and hatred that destroys. It can be an oppression or a bondage or weakness or sin that kills. Okay? And this is what happened in the Bible. Okay? The Israelites came to the promised land, the edge of the promised land, and they sent out 12 scouts to observe, check out the land. And 10 came back out of the 12 with this report. There are giants in the land. Okay? There are giants in the land. Okay? And Jesus warned us, the thief will come to steal, kill, and destroy. And they focus on the giant, and this is their report about the land. The giants are too strong, impossible. We'll never defeat them. We cannot overcome them. And because of their view of the giants, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. that we are small, weak, and helpless. And they convinced the nation of Israel not to go into the promised land, but go back to Egypt. Now, out of the 12, there was two scouts that came back with they had a different perspective. And this is the perspective God is calling us to have as Catalyst members. Okay? Their name was Joshua and Caleb. Here's the thing. They saw the same thing as the 10 other scouts. They had the same information as the 10 other scouts, but they had a different view. They saw the circumstances from God's perspective. They saw themselves from God's perspective. Okay? This is what they said. Yes, there are giants in the land, but our God is much bigger. Yes, there's barrier and it's very formidable, but our God is stronger. Our God is greater. We can possess the land. We can overcome the giants. God will give us this land. Okay? Majority will say we can't. Majority will say they're too strong. Majority will say impossible. But God calls us to be the two, Joshua and Caleb. Okay? Yes, there are giants that I have to face, and they are formidable. But my God is stronger. My God is greater. We will overcome. We will take that land. See, as a believer, as I shared that before with you a few weeks ago, you are not to agree with the giants in your life. You're not to, you know, if there's bitterness is a giant. Okay, resentment is a giant. Ungodly judgment toward one another is a giant. You're not to agree with it. Okay, you're not to agree with it. You're not to live with it. You're not to identify with it or be overwhelmed by it or be ruled by it. Okay, take a moment. Identify some of the giants that you're facing right now. Okay? Don't say, it's this person. My dad, my mom, my child. No, they're not giants. They're family. Amen? Okay, they're family. Yes, they're family. Okay? But giants are mostly what's going on inside. The thoughts and imagination. Identify the giants. You're not to agree with it. Okay? You're not to be ruled by it. Okay? You're not to be overcome by it. And so what does it mean? Okay. So, but God gives us this hope. Okay. What does it mean to have full life in Christ? Okay. What does it mean? You know, because the Bible does not say now there's no more condemnation. Oh, the Bible says in Christ, you have no condemnation. Okay? It doesn't say, you know, you can do all things. No. The Bible says, in Christ, you can do all things. In Christ, you overcome the giants. I don't know, because of our background, the way we grew up, you know that, we know that with our head, right? Because we've been to church enough. But in practice, we don't practice it that way. I want to give you this. You face the giant. You have giants in your life. Okay, you're facing right now. There's giants in our heart, giants in our mind. Okay? In Christ. Speak to it. Speak to that giant. In Christ, I overcome you. Okay? In Christ, you're defeated. In Christ, your assignment on my life is gone. It's broken. In Christ, I have power to overcome you, giant. Okay? Speak that. Speak that biblical truth. In Christ, you are believing in Christ who is greater than you, who gives you eternal life, who paid the penalty for your sin, who forgives and redeems, who cares and loves you, and who created you. And when you give your life to Christ, it's not just salvation and eternal life, but Jesus says, I give you full life. In Jesus, this is a guarantee, because it's not because you have Pastor Sam. There's no guarantee here with that. Okay? But in Christ, okay, you'll be transformed. Your life's going to change. It's going to change in Christ. It's a guarantee in Christ. And Pastor Sam, maybe. Okay. Maybe a little transformation here and there. Okay. But in Christ, your life will be transformed. In Christ, okay, whatever giant you're facing, in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Okay? In Christ, you will move mountains. Okay? You'll move mountains. You are not defined by how big the giant is in your life. You are defined by Jesus. Jesus is bigger than your giants. Now, Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says this: if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here and there, and it will be moved. Nothing will be impossible for you. Okay? Now, the Bible talks about this mustard seed. It's small, and it grows. And the Bible says this mustard seed grows into this large tree. Now, mustard seed faith is not talking about faith, you know, I have faith that I'm going to be rich, that I'm going to make a lot of money. That's not that kind of faith it's talking about. Okay? It's not a faith that gives you success in the world. It's a faith, what this kind of faith, what it's talking about in the context is a faith that moves mountains. A faith that will give you victory over the giants in your life. Okay? That kind of faith. It's a faith that moves mountain. And so it's described as a mustard seed, very small. So what it's saying, that kind of faith, okay? Like a mustard seed, when you face giant, you're going to struggle, okay? You feel small. You're scared. You feel weak. There's a struggle, okay? Some people think, faith is about no struggle. That's not faith. It just means you're a robot, not a human being. There's a struggle. There's a struggle. Or you're kind of lying. Oh, I'm not scared. You know, no, you're faking it. Yeah? A mustard seed, faith that moves mountain. Yes, there's a struggle. You're scared. But a mustard seed faith goes one more step. When you have a faith of a mustard seed, yes, there's fear, there's weakness, yes, there's relapses, okay? There's struggle, but that doesn't stop you because it's supposed to grow, mustard seed. It grows, okay? You hold on to, you. No matter how hard it is, you hold on to the promise of God. You still believe God can do great things. And this kind of faith, Jesus says, will move mountains. Okay? Will move mountains. When you see, okay, there's giants in your life. Okay, you identified it. Okay? And those giants wants to crush you, steal, destroy, lie to you, drag you down. Okay? But you, a faith of a mustard seed, you refuse. Okay? And we need to do this as a church. You refuse, you know, and the enemy still, you know why? What he's doing is so that you'll become resentful, hopeless, disillusioned. But instead, a faith of a mustard seed, no, I refuse to go backwards. You know, you need to speak that into your heart. I refuse to go backward. I'm going to believe that God is with me. God is for me. Speak this truth into your heart. God is for me, not against me. And God is bigger than the giant and the mountain that I am facing. Jesus is bigger. Jesus is bigger. Okay? You have, then you have a faith that your faith has become a mustard seed that can move mountains. Okay? That can move mountains. I shared this long, this illustration. There was a frog born at the bottom of a small well. It's not a true story. It's a story, you know. But and this frog was very content. The frog was thinking, "Wow, this is great!" You know, bottom of a small well. He's thinking, all the water in the world I had, right? But what this frog did, finally went out of the well and hopped further and saw a pond. And this frog decided to hop a little further and saw this great lake. And went a little further and he saw an ocean, right? An ocean. Man, and because we live in New Jersey, you probably saw the ocean. You could see a lake, you go, whoa, that's nice, that's pretty, that's beautiful. You go to an ocean, whoa, beyond what I thought. And Catalyst, I am here to remind you, God's dream for your life is much bigger and better and greater than you can imagine. Okay? Nothing happens until someone dreams, meaning someone starts to have a vision from God about your life. Okay? About vision from God about your life. And if your dream, you know, you're thinking you have a dream for your life, if it's small, it's not from God. If you can accomplish something through human power, then it's not God. There's mountains, there's giants that you're facing right now. And you're trying to overcome through your own power. Don't do that. You can't. All right? God wants to do something impossible through you. Okay? Wants to do something impossible through you. And if God showed you where he wants you to end up, it would just blow you away. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Okay? God's people said. Again, we've been raised in this well, and so we see with human eyes. And when you look through human eyes, you know what? You're going to just see through eyes of rejection, judgment, and hopelessness. My challenge to you, starting today, climb out of that well. Okay? Climb out of that well. Go a little further than you're used to. Go beyond your fear. Don't get stuck in fear. Go beyond the bondage. Go beyond the dysfunction. Go beyond your childhood brokenness. Go beyond the lies. Let's go beyond the giants that we face. Right? Believe in a God. I mean, this is the solution. Believe in a God that is greater than you. Right? Greater than the devil. Greater than this world. Right? Jesus said this about you in Matthew 16. Verse 18 to 19. On this rock, okay, say to your neighbor, you're the rock. On this rock, I will build my church. Okay? I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Now, you know, Peter, his name was the rock. But God said, I'm going to build my church on this rock. And it's going to be a power. It will be powerful. This church will be so powerful. And this world, and this is what's going on in the world right now. Okay? Something, you know, the world's depending on everything. You know, just different things. And the world around us is going crazy. It's going crazy. We're facing many giants. The world is facing many giants. And it seems like there aren't many things, you know, going for us. You know, and when you look at your own heart, you see your sin, you see spiritual attack, you see brokenness. And we all struggle, okay, with this inner voice of doubt. And it brings to surface our fears, our insecurities, our sin, our anger, our imagination, our weakness and judgment. And the devil's telling you, okay, and he's not that creative. He lies the same lies over and over again. Okay? It's a voice of doubt, fear, resentment, and insecurity. You cannot do it. You will fail. Nobody cares. You're going to make a fool of yourself. You are a failure. And I'm going to challenge this to the youth. And I see it. I mean, we love, again, LGBTQ community, right? We love them. Like it was Jesus loves them. But honestly, in your school, if you stand up saying, I'm gay or transgender, you are celebrated. They're not marginalized anymore. You know who's really marginalized? You know why you cannot stand up as a Christian in your school? Because Christians are marginalized. Christians are marginalized. I'm just speaking this truth. Student, high school kids, would you stand up for Jesus? It's scary. It's scary. Right? You'll get judged. You will be marginalized. And this is what the world is doing to us. But my challenge to you and my challenge to myself, no. No. Church will be the light of the world. When there's darkness, the church will shine brighter. You know, my challenge to Cattle, in Christ, you have the power to impact the world around us. You know, the thief, the giant, the evil, is not to come into our community, our church, our home, our heart, to steal, destroy, and kill. But what Jesus said, the gates of hell will not overcome thee. Okay? The gates of hell will not overcome thee. We are to go to the darkest place. We're to go to the enemy's territory. And Jesus says about you, and the hell's gate cannot overcome you. Amen? Okay. I want to speak a prophetic words over you in a spiritual step of faith. This is a prophetic act as a church. Okay, prophetic act. What I want to release is not in the natural, it's in the spiritual realm. Okay? Something God is doing in you, in the church. It is something God is releasing in our church. Okay? And, you know, we're stepping into the movement of the Holy Spirit. A church not based on tradition, culture, or ethnicity. A church not based on church politics, performance, or position. But we want to move into the powerful movement of God. Amen? So I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Worship team, come up.